January 4th, 2008, in Auckland, Krishna Book Reading.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namaha. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachami Nirvasevasa Samyani Paskachami Nirvasatani. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathagatam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Pita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lamita Shri Vishakam Vitam. Reading first in Transcendental Diary. He gave another example of the mind's whimsical nature. I have practically seen in our society, as soon as one is in charge, immediately he invents something new. This should be broken and this should be done. Then another man comes, he breaks the same thing again. There are practical experiences, I have thought. Unless there is control over the mind, it will dictate something new. Do it like this. There was a Bengali poet, he also sang a song, do something new. This is mind's business. He is not satisfied with the old things. The whole material world is like that. Do something new and be implicated. We are not satisfied with old things. Old order changes, yields to, there is an English proverb like that, yielding to the new. But the Vedic civilization is that, do not try to invent some order. That will create disturbance. Be satisfied. Whatever you have got by nature's way, be satisfied. Don't spoil your time. Save your time for Krishna consciousness. So we thought since today we're focusing on Vaidehi Hari. Right? Yesterday on Jagannath, the day before Ramatai, that we would do a special class today about Vaidehi Hari. Right? Everybody approves? I have to get the blessings. I did a winter song the same the other night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I have to get permission and also blessings. So, of course, Gaura Lila is a long Lila. So, I thought we would just read one short chapter from it. This is chapter 26, Wonderful Krishna. So, this is after Krishna has replaced Govardhan Hill and before Indra comes to offer his verse. Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna, which surpass the activities of all men. What a prophecy. Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna, which surpass the activities of all men. Okay. They don't understand you're saying that they don't understand the intricacies. So it doesn't specifically say about Yogamaya, but what I hear you saying is that Prabhupada's implying that because they're under Yogamaya, they can't understand that Krishna is a Supreme Lord. Okay. Anybody else hear anything that Prabhupada's saying? Yes. That Krishna's intricacies and activities are greater than that of normal men. Is that what you say? Somebody else more probably saying it? Yes. Okay. So what I hear you saying is even though they don't understand the intricacies of Krishna's pastimes, they talk about them anyway. Krishna Krishna is not a normal man. Okay. Okay, so Prabhupada, you're saying Prabhupada's saying that Krishna is not a normal man. What else do you hear Prabhupada saying? You're supposed to listen with rapt attention. Sometimes you don't hear the same thing again. Shall I read it again? Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing his uncommon spiritual opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna which surpassed the activities of all men. Anyone else hear something that you're promising? I'm sure there's at least another 10 things. Yes. The cowherd boys, and what do you think Prabhupada means by innocent? Okay, so what you're saying is that you understand what Prabhupada means here by innocent is that they don't know that Krishna is God. Is that what you mean? You're not sure?
Krishna is not displaying his full opulence.
So you're meaning that Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is not displaying all of his opulence. That they don't know it because he's not this one. Somebody else? No problem, somebody? Yes?
Discussion. I told you about discussion. Is that he brings it up. He brings up the point of discussing, which is a very important point for him, by discussing. And that's the point for Vaishnavas.
So you say Prabhupada's really emphasizing the point of discussing about Krishna. The Prabhupada saying something about Krishna's opulences, and the idea of what Prabhupada saying about Krishna's opulences.
It's the most famous.
That he's the most famous. That you're saying that the Prabhupada saying is that when he says uncommon spiritual opulences, he's implying that Krishna's famous.
Well, I guess because these people are just talking about him, even though they don't. There's something about him that they're attracted to?
So that people somehow or other are attracted to him, and people talk about it, even if they don't know his opulences. Therefore, that showing his opulence of fame.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I guess.
Did you mean something else?
No, something.
Somebody else? Yes.
Is it somewhat like the experience of somebody reading Krishna book without understanding Krishna?
Somebody what?
Somebody reading Krishna book without understanding Krishna.
So you think maybe Prabhupada's comparing this to someone like me who reads Krishna book without really understanding Krishna? Okay. Any other ideas for Prabhupada's on here? No? Okay. I'm also seeing that they still know that Krishna's activities are wonderful and beyond that of all men, even though they don't know his full opulences. So still they're able to perceive that. And I'm also understanding what Prabhupada means here by innocent as kind of a sweetness. The Prabhupada uses the word innocent to sort of be analogous to sweetness. What about some reactions to this? Any realizations about this? Now that we've taken some time to listen to Prabhupada, when we have a conversation with someone, it's usually best if first we really hear them, and then we give some response. So this Krishna book is actually Krishna. We know that this is Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is Krishna. And Prabhupada says that if one hears with rapt attention, that Krishna will personally manifest in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So we're trying to hear very carefully so that Krishna will manifest in this room. And also, this book is Srila Prabhupada, because this is, we're getting like the parrot, right, who tastes the mango and becomes the sweeter. So we're getting Bhagavatam with the mood and the realizations of Srila Prabhupada. So please don't think that Srila Prabhupada is not present. That if we really try to hear Prabhupada, then we'll find that he is very much present. I was just reading in a conversation one reporter was asking Srila Prabhupada about different levels of realization, and Prabhupada was talking about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And he said, you can go beyond Paramatma to have a direct relationship with Krishna. And the reporter said, oh, you can feel his presence. Prabhupada said, no, you can talk to him directly, like I'm talking to you. So we can engage in a conversation with the Shastra, which is also Krishna. And if we do that, Krishna may become eager to talk to us. So now we're listening to the Bhagavatam. So what do we have to say? Any realizations on the sentence? What are our realizations on the sentence? What's our part of this conversation? Yes?
I was just thinking that Krishna's opulences, his ones that are described here, are something special, sweet, beyond Lord Narayana and Lord Vishnu.
That Krishna in Vrindavan has opulences beyond that. Right? Because although the cowherd boys don't know that, is that what you're responding to? That although they don't know those opulences of Krishna, still they want to discuss the nice pastimes of Krishna, so they're even hiding from that. Is that what you meant? Something else? You want to express something else?
I wasn't sure if the cowherd boys don't know about the opulences of Krishna or Narayana.
So you're not sure whether or not they know about the opulences of Krishna.
But they're attracted to the opulences of Krishna, but they're manifest in a much different way than they are with Narayana and Lord Vishnu. Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they know about the opulences of Narayana, still they're attracted to the opulences of Krishna. Any other responses to this? Yes. So they're just loving Krishna for how he is. I think what you said is they can't pinpoint exactly why they love him. But still they're just loving him. So this sentence is speaking about how the residents of all the different residents of Vrindavan, right, you're saying in different ways? That they're all loving Krishna just for Krishna. Any other responses? Yes, please.
When the Vrajavasis discuss Krishna, then perhaps the aura of reverence is removed, so they don't necessarily understand his opulences, but they enter more into a much more intimate rasa friendship.
So as they discuss Krishna, they enter into a deeper, a more intimate relationship. Is that what you're saying?
And also the other part gets covered over. If they understood he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they wouldn't be able to relate to him in such a sweet way.
So whatever knowledge they have of him as the Supreme Lord gets covered. Yes.
So also that we should approach in the same way in an innocent mind.
Okay. So you're saying that this is also some guide for us that we should have an innocent mind. What do you think Prabhupada means by innocent? Any others for the reactions to innocent? Yes. Without jnana and karma. Sachinanda Swami likes to talk about being simple. He tells the story of the Brahmana. Not simple like that we should all go around, you know. Nothing like that. Although we should be a fool before the guru, we're not supposed to be fools. It's not that you join the Hare Krishna group and you're supposed to just become a foolish person. But Sachinanda Swami tells the story of the Brahmana who was reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down. Because he didn't know how to read, he didn't even know which way the letters went. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what are you doing? And he said, well, my guru told me to read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, even though he knew I was illiterate, which is interesting. So I went to my guru, I said, the Guru Maharaj, I don't even know my alphabet. And he's reading upside down, I didn't even know his alphabet. And the Guru Maharaj said, just read anyway. How do you do that? So he was taking the Gita and just going through the pages, going through the leaves. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, but if you can't read, then why are you crying? He said, because I'm just thinking about Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot and how dedicated he is to his devotee. So that's simplicity. It's a nice example of simplicity. Any other reactions to this sentence?
Five. Five.
Faith. How much faith they have in Krishna. I like it that they're so eager to discuss Krishna's activities just out of love. It's like a symptom of their spontaneous love. They're not discussing Krishna's activities because it's some sort of religious ritual. Now, like many of us, perhaps we've come right now to discuss Krishna's activities because we're supposed to. Because Prabhupada said you're supposed to go to class. Okay, so I'm supposed to go to class. Maybe I'd rather do something else. I'd rather talk to my friends, I'd rather go to sleep, I'd rather have breakfast, or something like that. And I may be coming out of it more of an intellectual conviction. Okay, well, I've understood some of the intricacies of Krishna, I've understood some of Krishna's opulences, and I know that if I want perfection, I'm supposed to talk about it, so I do. Whereas the coward men and boys of Vrindavan, that's not what they're doing. They're doing it very naturally. Of course, in this world, we also talk naturally about people. What kind of people do we naturally talk about?
People we like and people we don't like.
People we like and people we don't like. People we like and people we don't like. People we envy, also. The materialists are often talking about people who are rich, beautiful, famous, basically because they envy them. They want to be like them, or they want them torn down in some way. Oh, this rich person did this stupid thing. Oh, great. You know, this famous person did this stupid thing. So those are the people we talk about. Okay. So we naturally talk about both people we like and people we don't like. That means people from whom we have a strong attraction and attachment. And therefore, Prabhupada says we already have a sakti. We already have attachment, we're just misdirecting it. And it's very nice to explain in the Rama Vimohan Lila, why is it that we have attraction for the people that we talk about? Do we talk about ourselves too, if we can get away with it? If we can make it socially acceptable. So why do we talk about ourselves and the people we like and the people we don't like, the people we have? What is it that attracts us?
Taste.
A taste? Yeah, where's that taste coming from? Why? Because Krishna is present there. Exactly. And Sukadeva Goswami says even the reason that we're attached to ourself is because we're. What was his answer? Because we're? Part of Krishna. But why am I attached to my family? Why do I want to talk about my family or my friends? Right? This devotee, that devotee. Because they're part of Krishna. What's attracting me to them is a little bit of Krishna. So just imagine how attractive Krishna is. So fortunately, this process works in reverse. If you're already attached to Krishna, you want to talk about him. But also, if you talk about him, you'll become attracted to him. Right? That even happens materially. I mean, I don't even know who most of the sports heroes are, but I'm sure if I started talking about them all the time and watching their activities, I would become attracted to them after some time. Or I might become very averse to them. I would either become revolted by them or attracted to them. But they would start filling my consciousness, right? Doesn't it work like that? And they're just a little bit of Krishna. So what to speak of if I start talking about Krishna, I will also become attracted. One of them said, this is the discussion we're having, one of them said, my dear friends, considering his wonderful activities, how is it possible that such an uncommon boy would come and live with us in Vrindavan? Now remember, what did Krishna just do? He just picked up a mountain. You have any little kids here this room? It's a little bit older kid. So how old are you guys back there? How old are you? 10, 11, 12. Who's 10? You're 10. Okay. So if this young lady back there who's 10, if she came and picked up this whole temple building and held it up in the air, could you do that? No? Of course you can do that with the Vyasa-san. She went over to Vyasa-san and picked it up and held it in the air for a week. Right? Or to speak of the whole temple. Or to speak of the whole new Varshana. Right? So she just came and picked up all the new Varshana and held it up in the air for a week. What's really amazing is that they didn't figure out who was God. How is it possible that such an uncommon boy would come and live with us in Vrindavan? We'd say, where did this girl come from? Who is she? It's really not possible. Just imagine. He's now only 7 years old. But how is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just like the king of elephants holds a lotus flower? To lift a lotus flower is the most insignificant thing for an elephant. And similarly, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill without exertion. When he was simply a small baby and could not even see properly, he killed a great demon, Putana. While sucking her breast, he also sucked out her love hair. Krishna killed the Putana demon exactly as eternal time kills a living creature in due course. When he was only 3 months old, he was sleeping underneath a hand-driven cart. Being hungry for his mother's breast, he began to cry and throw his legs upward. And from the kicking of his small feet, the cart immediately broke apart and fell into pieces. Okay, a little baby, think of some little baby that you know. And let's say that the parents, that it was very sunny outside, so they put the little baby to sleep under one of the cars out there, and then you get the whole car smashed to pieces. When he was only 1 year old, he was carried away by the Trinamarta demon, disguised as a whirlwind, and the Lord was taken very high in the sky. He simply hung on the neck of the demon and forced him to fall from the sky and immediately die. Once his mother, being disturbed by a stinging butter, tied him to a wooden mortar, and the child pushed it towards a pair of trees known as Yamaha Arjuna and caused them to fall. Has anyone here ever heard of a hurricane? Anybody? Hurricane, cyclone, tornado? Yeah. Did you see some big trees fall? Yeah, I was in a hurricane once. Came at about 2 in the morning. It was on the night of Vyasputa, the night after Vyasputa. Woke up in the middle of the night. And the trees, you know, this big or bigger were swaying. Well, usually with small trees doing some of this, but went right over. But these Yamaha Arjuna trees, they're so strong that even in a hurricane, they don't fall over. That's how substantial they are. And yet, little Krishna, he was just 1 year old, just a little toddler. You see a little baby's toddler? And still, he just pulled the water and not doing this. Once, when he was engaged in tending the cows in the forest along with his elder brother Balaram, a demon named Bakasura appeared. Krishna once bifurcated the demon's beaks, and the demon known as Vatsasura entered among the cows tended by Krishna with the desire to kill him. He immediately detected the demon, killed him, and threw him into a tree. Another one of the friends of Nandamura says, "My dear Nanda, we do not know why we are so attracted to your son Krishna. We want to forget him, but this is impossible." So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that for the practicing devotee, they find it impossible to forget illusion. Right, we're talking about the sun and the tree. Until what stage? Does anybody remember? Vishakti. Right? Until the stage of Vishakti, one finds it impossible to forget illusion. One seeing the beautiful form of Radhakiti Kadi and Goritani, and all of a sudden thinking about something else. One devotee asked me, "How do I be Krishna conscious at work?" I said, "Well, first be Krishna conscious during your japa." You know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and our mind is, we don't even know how it got there. Sometimes a whole half an hour goes by, and a person thinks, "What am I doing for the last half an hour?" Unfortunately, sometimes years go by. Wow, I haven't thought about Krishna for the last 10 years in Hare Krishna. So, the problem is that although we try to forget Maya, still we can't forget Maya. But at a certain point in advancement in Krishna consciousness, one can't forget Krishna, even if one tries. So even if one starts talking about, you know, some war or this politician or that soccer game or this or that, and all of a sudden you find yourself thinking of Krishna. So, of course, the gopis speak like this when Uddhava comes. And when Balaram comes to Vrindavan also, they say, you know, we'd really like to forget about Krishna. He's forgotten about us. Because we can't. He's so attractive. Prahlada Maharaj compares the attraction to Krishna like what? Yes, like a magnet. Like a magnet. Krishna is so attractive. So this should give us great hope. And Krishna is so attractive. What we're being attracted to right now are just little tiny bits of Krishna. Like some little child's magnet. You know, that you use for a science experiment. But Krishna is like the North Pole magnet. It's the Maha magnet. So if we keep chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna, we will be attracted to Krishna. We will come to the point that even if we try to forget Krishna, we can't. Why are we so naturally affectionate towards him? Just imagine how wonderful it is. On one hand, he's only a boy of 7 years. Generally, everybody in the village, like probably everyone in this village here, is not attracted. We're all not terribly attracted to Lord Veda, right? No, I'm not talking about him all the time. So they're just astonished. Why are we all talking about this little boy? He's just a boy of 7 years. On the other hand, there's a huge hill like Govardhan, and he lifted it so easily. No, not in large. We're now in great doubt. Your son Krishna must be one of them. Not at all an ordinary boy. Maybe he's a supreme personality. And hearing the praises of the coward men in Vrindavan, King Nanda said, my dear friends, in reply to you, I can simply present the statement of Gargamuni so your doubts may be clear. So even Nanda Maharaj quotes authority. When he came to perform the name-giving ceremony, he said that this boy descends in different periods of time and different colors, and at this time he's appeared in Vrindavan in a dark color and is known as Krishna. Previously he had white color, then red color, then yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudeva. Nanda Maharaj doesn't figure out that he's the son of Vasudeva then also. And everyone who knows of his previous birth calls him Vasudeva. Actually, he said that my son had many varieties of names according to his different qualities and activities. So he's such a proud parent. Just like I was talking with one of the other mothers yesterday, and talking about our children and how what great personalities our children are and how maybe they were demigods in past lives. This is very natural. Now, but Nanda Maharaj is using this natural tendency in relationship to Krishna. You know, when we talk about our ordinary children in this world or our friends or relatives, we don't feel completely satisfied. Does anyone ever feel completely satisfied? Like they were just not saying the other day. If our children go for a walk, do we faint in ecstasy? Do we feel we'd rather be struck by lightning than have them go for a little walk? But when Krishna just takes a walk into the forest, not only so they can hardly even talk. He's just going to go away for a few hours. I mean, just an hour. Krishna's coming home in the afternoon. The gopis are standing by the path, and Radharani is standing by the path, and she and Krishna are exchanging glances, and as soon as he's out of sight, she faints. How can I stand to be separated from Krishna? So how much more satisfying, whatever satisfaction that we get, whatever little satisfaction we get from thinking about all the wonderful qualities of all the people to whom we're attached, or the terrible qualities of the people we don't know. We get some satisfaction from that too, don't we? We can get some taste. You know. What do the devotees do? The real devotees? They talk about the demons, right? The bad demons. Oh, that comes up. So just imagine how much happiness we can get from talking about Krishna. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names, to his different qualities and activities. Gargacharya assured me that this boy will be all auspicious for my family and that he will be able to give transcendental blissful pleasure to all the coward men and cows in Vrindavan. Even though we'll be put into various kinds of difficulties by the grace of this Lord, we'll be very easily freed from them. He also said that formerly this boy saved the world from an unregulated condition, and he saved all honest men from the hands of the dishonest. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy Krishna is never vanquished or defeated by his enemy. On the whole, he's exactly like Lord Vishnu. Did he say he was Lord Vishnu? Who always takes the sides of the demons who are constantly never defeated. Always takes the side of the demigods who are constantly never defeated by the demons. Bhagavad Gita thus concluded that my child will grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty qualification. Just imagine how proud he is. You ever talked about somebody that you like this? Oh, my mother is like this, or my child is like this, or my Guru Maharaj is like this, or my friend is like this, and you feel so proud to be associating with them, right? That's how that emerges. My child will grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. So we should not be very astonished by his wonderful activities. After telling this, Gargacharya returned home, and since then we have been continually seeing the wonderful activities of this child. According to the version of Gargacharya, I consider that he must be Narayan himself, or maybe a plenary portion of Narayan. So it's interesting that although not none of ours will say this, that again he gets in this ecstasy of just thinking that Krishna is his child. And this happened with Jagannath Mishra, that he had this after he was really corrected. Chaitanya, we had this dream where this Brahmin came and told him, your child is the Supreme Lord. He's full of all knowledge. Why are you instructing him? And Jagannath Mishra said, well, whatever he is, I'm his father. It's my duty to instruct him. And the Brahmin in the dream said, but if he already knows everything, why do you have to teach him anything? He said, that may be, but it's still my duty to instruct him. When all the coward men attentively heard the statements of Gargacharya through Nandamarj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna, became very jubilant and satisfied. They began to praise Nandamarj because by consulting him, their doubts about Krishna were clear. They said, let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us. When angry Indra sent torrents of rain, accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high wind, immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up the Govardhan hill just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully, and he continued to mercifully glance over us and our plans. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. So, of course, we really do have Krishna as a member of our village, don't we? He really is. He's writing on the altar with the symbol of him. And we can always be talking about his activities. This is the wonderful benefit of deity worship. That even in the beginning, like Prabhupada said, that if one's advanced in love with Krishna, he's speaking to Krishna directly. So even for a neophyte who doesn't see Krishna, maybe we don't even see Krishna in the things of this world. Krishna says he's the light of the sun, he's the light of the moon. The purifier sees the wind. What else does he say? Things that we see every day. He says he's the flower bearing spring. The taste in water. What else? The strength of the strong. Excuse me? The ability of man. Do we encounter these things every day? Every day we encounter the sun, the moon, the wind. Right now it's the springtime. Right? We all have some strength. We all have some ability. When we're encountering all those things, are we realizing that it's Krishna? Drinking water. Drinking water. Are we realizing that's Krishna? So maybe we're so neophyte we don't even see Krishna in the universe. It's kind of going bad all day. Oh, there's the sun. There's the water. So even if we're that neophyte, when to speak of directly talking to Krishna, still we can understand that there's Krishna on the altar. And it's very practical. Okay, we have to cook for him, we have to dress him, we have to bathe him, we have to give him lights, and flowers, and so many things. That he's the master, we have to do everything for him. So gradually, he engages us we should get to the point that we're talking about Radhakrishna Hari, just like all the residents of Vrindavan are talking about Gita. Oh, how wonderful Krishna is. Just see how Krishna arranged for this beautiful temple to be built. Just see how Krishna's arranging for all the flowers to grow. See how that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? How does he do that? How Krishna's arranging for the ocean, all these things. Just like the residents of Vrindavan are talking about how wonderful it is that Krishna lifted Govardhana. How wonderful it is that Krishna lifted this island out from the bottom of the sea. Isn't this a volcanic island? Must be a very old one. Because even, you don't have, like in Hawaii, all the rocks are volcanic rocks, but it's not true. So how Krishna's lifting up, how he's lifting up the earth? And Krishna's doing wonderful things. Ah, Radha Gidhithani. Radha little Gidhithani. And the altar, our little boy, Gidhithani. So he's doing wonderful things all around us at every moment. He's doing wonderful things in our life. He's picking up our anarchists and throwing them away. That's pretty amazing. At least to me. They're more deep-rooted than the Govardhana Hill. You know, they're heavier than the Govardhana Hill. I see my heart is like, oh my God, I'll never be able to deal with this thing. And he can pick it up and take it away. Hasn't he done that? At least for some of our nectars? Hasn't he? Has he done that? Some of the things that we were attached to is gone. You can't even imagine how we were attached to it. How can I be attached to it? How he's spreading his name and fame all over the world. And just like Lord Ramachandra, so Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they were fighting with Ravana and his army. And Ravana had some pretty sophisticated weapons. And he had all these divine missiles, a lot more sophisticated than the modern weapons. You know, we're so proud that we have laser-guided missiles and nuclear bombs and things like that. And Ravana says in one more word, he says that, the monkeys were just fighting with rocks and sticks. He says, only Ram and Lakshman shot some arrows. Of course, they were also, Ram and Lakshman had some divine weapons. Some monkeys had clubs. But still, we wouldn't think to counter some, you know, we were going to fight with. Does New Zealand have much time? Much military might be there. No? Have you guys ever been allied with anybody? I know Australia fought with the Allies in World War II. Did New Zealand also? So you must have some. I mean, you're supposed to be a first world country. So you must have some kind of sophisticated weaponry. So suppose you were out fighting with the New Zealand army with just some rocks. You know, all the soldiers come out and we pick up a bunch of rocks and sticks. Would that be very effective? But really, that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? The Hare Krishna movement trying to change the world. So Kali Yuga's got his Senapati. Who's Kali Yuga's Senapati? Who's his chief general?
Bush.
It's really funny. Who's Kali Yuga's chief general? Not Bush. He's not that powerful. He's got a really powerful channel. Oh, Kali Yuga's. Kali Yuga's chief. Who's Kali Yuga's chief channel? The media. The media. You go to some Himalayan village. In meat-eating illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and hoarding of gold. They're absorbed. There's some simple people in their own village. There's no meat-eating illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, but there wasn't 10, 20 years ago. And there it is. Kali Yuga's entered through the satellite dish all over the world. Is there practically any place where people don't have access to media? Pretty hard. You know, you have to intentionally go to some retreat center.
Or live with the Amish.
Hmm? Or go live with the Amish or something. But all they have to do is walk to the nearest town. Who are we in comparison to that? From an external point of view, can we make propaganda equal to the movie industry and the television industry? All the internet, how many Krishna conscious internet sites do we have? How many Krishna conscious radio and television stations do we have? There is one top Hollywood movie producer who's negotiating with one of our GDC men to produce a biography of one of our devotees, one of our devotees. So we'll see how that happens. But from an external point of view, we just have a bunch of rocks, you know. Isn't it? So how wonderful Krishna is that he's going to take over the world like that? By us going out and distributing books? And giving out cookies? But this is Krishna's cleverness, that the demons don't take us very seriously. Just like somebody who doesn't notice that they have cancer until, you know, 2 days before they die. One devotee's father, he just wasn't feeling very well. He went to the doctor. The doctor says, you have 1 week to live. You know, so it's kind of like that with Kali Yuga. They're not taking this very seriously. We look kind of funny. There don't seem to be very many of us. And our weapons are cookies and books. And some little hand symbols. And by the time they figure that their civilization is about to collapse, it's going to be too late for them to cut chemotherapy. Far advanced. So these are the wonderful activities of Krishna. He's doing wonderful activities right now. And just like with Govardhan Lila, and it was Indra. He throws thunderbolts. You know how powerful a lightning bolt is. So him are like toys. He's the chief Kshatriya of the whole universe. And he pulled out the top limits of his power. He pulled out his power that he uses for universal destruction. It wasn't just an ordinary storm. So those of us who've seen the hurricane, you know, multiply that thousands and thousands of times. And the hurricane came in North Carolina. It wasn't even the full scope of it. We were about 4 hours drive from the shore. So it wasn't even in full hurricane force anymore by the time it hit us. And the rain and the wind was so intense, we couldn't even open the door. We tried to open the doors. Rain immediately. It's like somebody had thrown buckets of water in the door, and the door slammed shut. You know, and as I said, big trees. The trees that were a meter across were just like blades of grass. And that wasn't the end of the creation. That wasn't the Samvartika cross. So Indra's pulling out his full power, and Krishna's counteracting it with a little finger. So that's what he's doing now. And of course, when Krishna did that, because he's very clever, it's Rupa Goswami explains that he was thinking, wow, so Indra's pulling out everything. Maybe I should go smash him. And then Krishna felt some compassion. He thought, why bother? He's actually very insignificant. You know, a real hero doesn't like to fight with someone who's insignificant. They want to fight with someone who's equal. No fun with fighting with somebody who's insignificant. That's how Jarasandha felt when Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima came. They were disguised as Brahmanas, and they asked the charity of fighting, and Jarasandha said, well, I'm not going to fight with you, Krishna, because you're a coward. Which is absurd, since Krishna defeated his millions of soldiers 17 times. But he said, you know, last time you ran away from the battlefield, you were a coward, so I'm not going to fight with cowards. I'm not going to fight with Arjuna because he's younger and weak. And Arjuna was so powerful that the Kuru army decided that if they could just defeat him, they would have won the war. He said, I'm going to fight with Bhima because he's equal. And actually, Jarasandha and Bhima were equal. So that's also a very interesting story. They were fighting for 27 days. It says they were perfectly matched in strength, in ability, and in technique. And neither one of them felt tired. So it was only when Bhima went to Krishna and said, "Krishna, I can't do it." Is it sometimes like that, right? We're trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. And finally we say, "Krishna, I surrender. I can't do it." So then it's described that Krishna infused Bhima with his potency, and then he took a twig and he broke it. Do it. But he also infused Bhima with his potency. Anyway, the point is that one likes to fight between equals. So Krishna was thinking, according to Rupa Goswami, why should I bother fighting with this injury? He's insignificant. I mean, if we think about it, I mean, if we combined all of the world leaders for all time, their power wouldn't equal that of injury. And all of our weapons are not equal to the weapons of Indra. He's insignificant. Why should I bother fighting with him? He said, "Instead, let me take this as an opportunity to show compassion to my devotees in Vrindavan." And Krishna, what kind of compassion did Krishna show? Because normally, we were speaking earlier how Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they're so attached to Krishna, Radharani's so attached to Krishna. If he goes away just for a moment, it's unbearable. We probably do not have that much attachment for anybody. Just a moment. And Krishna's always coming and going. You know, in his eightfold daily pastime. So first in the morning he leaves the gopis and goes back to his parents. And he's with the cowherd boys. Then he's eating with his parents. Then he leaves them and goes to the forest. And he's with the cowherd boys. Then he leaves the cowherd boys and goes to be with the gopis. Then he leaves the gopis and he's back with the cowherd boys. Then he leaves the cowherd boys and he's back with his parents. He's always coming and going. Sanatana Goswami describes, even in the spiritual world, Krishna's apparently coming and going. He goes from Vrindavan to Mathura and back again, and Vrindavan to Mathura back again, because there's rumors of demons. But sometimes, Krishna's with everybody else. Well, sometimes. So the Govardhan Leela is one of those times when Krishna's with all the residents of Vrindavan, and they can all look at him. Even the young gopis can look at him without any fear that someone's going to criticize him. After all, I mean, there's Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. There's no problem with just looking at Krishna. So Krishna accomplished that. And then, of course, he's reciprocating with Govardhan Hill. When Krishna really wants to enjoy, it's so interesting that we thought that we would enjoy by competing with God, by coming here to be God. Which didn't work out very well. At least hasn't worked out very well for me. You know, maybe some of you have found success at this endeavor. But when Krishna wants to enjoy, what does he do? He takes the mood of his devotee. When Krishna wants the highest ecstasy, he takes the mood of his devotee, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or as Govardhan. Krishna gets Haridasa Dharya. He gets in the mood of his devotee. And his Govardhan, he's serving all the devotees. Especially he's serving the cows. So there's Krishna in the mood of his devotee, serving the devotees, providing places for the cowherd boys to play, and pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and providing nice grass for the cows, and water, and seeds, and jewels, and minerals, and so many things. And Krishna wants to reciprocate with himself, who's there as a devotee. How much fun is that? So Krishna's also doing that. And when Krishna lifts up Govardhan Hill, it's explained that Govardhan Hill was feeling such happiness by the touch of Krishna's hand that he didn't even feel Indra's thunderbolts. Indra's throwing everything he has. You know, first he's all over Vrindavan, and then when Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, where do you think he's concentrating everything? Right at Govardhan Hill. Does it sometimes feel like that? Never feel like that? Maya's just throwing everything at you? You know? Thunderbolts this way, that way, rain, hail. Instead, Govardhan Hill didn't even notice that it was being struck by thunderbolts because it was so happy. He was so happy feeling the touch of Krishna's love. So this is also for us. Krishna is also the center here of our village. Our Gidi Hari, our beautiful Gidi Hari, who we're about to see. And if we're meditating on his beautiful lotus hands, his beautiful lotus feet, then we'll not even feel the thunderbolts in him. And we'll feel so, so happy discussing all of his different activities, his transcendental pastimes, his even activities around us in the world, how he is spreading the Hare Krishna movement, how he is making the plants grow, how he is causing the sun to shine, how he is tasting water. And then, even if we don't understand all the intricacies of Krishna, even if we don't know all of his opulences, still in a simple, innocent way, we can be very much absorbed in discussing his activities. And then we will be in Vrindavan even now. So I think I'm out of time. Thank you very much. All the ways to share.